New, new.
So you've been playing Civilization 6?
Yes, that is going to be our excuse for not putting out an episode for the past year.
Okay,
to our viewership worldwide, we are back.
Too much Civ 6, but
Yeah, too much Civ 6, man. Like, honestly, I never like I don't game much, but I put in like just on this PS5 version of it, the version of this
the word.
yeah, the version of this I've put out 125 hours so far in
Damn.
a week or 2 weeks,
Oh, that's crazy.
whatever the hell, however long I've had it. Honestly, I've lost my grasp on time because I'll be like playing this till like 6 a.m. sometimes.
Do you know what like the time scale is? Like how many minutes is like how many years on there?
I have no idea. I know every turn is like 5 years, and
Okay.
you start in 4000 BC. So I've played this on PC before, and that was fun.
Yeah.
I got the whole like, you know, anthology
Anthology,
pack.
yeah.
Yeah, I'm having trouble talking.
You're good.
But this one, I didn't know they had all the DLCs until like last week.
This is all the DLCs?
Yeah, I got all of them, and they were on like PSN like for like $5 or something. So
No
I got
way.
all of them,
Nice.
and the game is like $7 too.
Really?
Yeah, so it's on sale. So I bought it,
Okay.
and bro, it's so realistic. The AI, everything. I don't know who made this, but like, I started playing as Japan, and at the original point,
Okay.
and from just settling that city, like I settled in Kyoto, and then I'm like, you know, settling the land, trying to find a way off the island, find resources on this small, like, you know, like no land mass whatsoever.
Right.
And naturally, like, I found myself wanting to invade China.
Yeah.
I'm
Yeah, you were
taking over,
Japan.
yeah, taking over trade routes, taking
Yeah.
over the Pacific,
Yeah.
like, and then like obviously I have like a limit on my own population because there's only so much resources
It's
and
an
housing
island.
and all
Yeah.
that.
Islands.
So I'm sending people out constantly at times, or you know, I am like forcing my, not forcing, but I'm dictating to my newer cities, hey, I need you to produce more
Yeah.
and worry about eating less, which annoyed me. So yeah, I quickly understood the logic behind some of their expansionism, especially because like in the
Right.
game I was annoyed as hell. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, everyone else is like excelling in everything, and I'm still struggling to build a neighborhood. And because I don't have
You just don't
lumber.
have the resources. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just annoying, bro. That,
Yeah.
so I understand the frustration, Japan. Yeah, you and everyone else. Yeah. What about you, though? How's it been up since last year now? Man, it's been a minute,
It's been
dude.
a
There.
long
Yeah.
time. It's been a long time. I've just been busy. School work, the
Yeah.
grind.
Our one listener in South Africa, I hope we still have you.
Yeah, he's been waiting. He's been
He's
waiting
been
this whole year.
waiting.
He has notifications all the way on like he
Yeah.
has his notifications on.
Well, good thing, man. It's a lucky day. There's a lot to talk about.
It's a lot to
Well,
talk about.
a lot of nothing, bro. I feel like so much is on the news cycle, but nothing actually is going on.
What do you
Like,
mean?
you know, like right now there's a serious issue, Israel-Palestine, back on the news, right? But the news cycle is so quick, everything is so fast that yeah, it's a serious problem, serious issue. People should be talking about it. They're only gonna talk about it while it's on the news cycle, and then 2 or 3 days a week goes by, the protests like kind of like die out. People, it goes business back to normal,
Yeah.
and you know, I think that like, that played out in front of us with the Ukraine-Russia thing. Like, yeah, that was a hot topic until it was like, okay, you know, there's nothing happening
Yeah,
anymore.
yeah.
And reality is a lot is happening, I'm sure,
Right,
but you
right.
know, like, people's attention spans with social media and stuff, and then also just like the news cycle being 24 hours nonstop, nonstop BS too. That's the
Yeah,
problem.
yeah. And people get bored because again, like you said, social media and especially with TikTok, like our dopamine system is like completely rewired from what it's supposed to be. And so if you don't get like fast facts, you're gonna exit out the video, you're gonna go watch something else because it's boring. You're
Yeah,
not getting that
yeah.
dopamine hit.
And sitting idly or sitting just like alone, not doing anything, not scrolling, that's been, I don't know when that, I think that wiring happened sometime in our own lifetimes, right? Mine and yours, not our parents so much so.
Yeah.
But like just like constantly wanting to do something, but
Yeah.
also not having the energy to do anything worthwhile. So then we're scrolling, or there's like this
Right.
new video, it's like, you know, Like, I see. I was thinking about it too. I was gonna post online on my Instagram. It's been a minute, and I was like, yeah, okay. What should I post? I took a bunch of trips.
Yeah.
Somewhere, and I'm like, you know, in reality, I'm in my shorts in my room, and I have no intention of going anywhere anytime soon. Cause, yeah. Bro, I'm tired, man. It's been a long time. There was a reason we weren't recording, and I'm sure there's a like everywhere people feel the same way. Like, there's just like. Work, bro. Work and no progress. Like, it feels like everything got more expensive. Again, not to harp on that. We talked about that before, even last year, but our last episode.
Since then.
Yeah, it's more expensive now. Student loans are starting this month, I think. And yeah, overall, I'm just like, you know, going through it, man.
What do people have to look forward to right now? I mean,
the election next year, that's what's going to be on everyone's mind now, going into primary season, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there is no Democratic primary, and on the Republican side, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it seems like the DeSantis hype has kind of...
Yeah, any contenders that stand out?
I think Ron DeSantis was one, but his, like, whole, like, persona, his whole thing, he kind of, like, I don't know what happened to him. He kind of, like, Jeb Bushed himself. It's like a Florida thing, I think. Like, he did that. I feel like he did that. Like, yeah. I feel like he's lost his, like, you know... Like, people, he was going to be, like, the anti-Trump guy, yeah, anti-Trump, but, like, that's just not going to work.
What about Vivek?
Bro, I just can't see them doing that with the, like...
What about as a VP?
Still, no. Nah. Just, like, this is just nothing there. They, I mean, if you want a VP and you're really trying to get a minority, bro, they'd get, like, someone Cuban, right? Mm. Someone, like, you know, I mean, someone like Lil Marco would be good, too.
Lil Marco.
Like, anyone, you know, like, I mean, these guys are all recycled reruns anyways, right? And it's, like... If you, you know, Biden did this with Kamala, like getting the black vote, the young vote, the, you know, the college, the HBCU, all that, like the connections are all there, overlap. She's California, DA, you know, it's the biggest state. So he's like, he thought that through, and same with Obama, with Biden himself, etc. Bush with Cheney. So, I mean, if Trump decides to make that type of calculation, which I don't know. I mean, I guess he did that to a certain extent with Pence. With the evangelical
vote.
I guess see him, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I mean, yeah.
Well, you can see him winning.
I can see him winning.
Yeah.
I mean, the way things are going, student loans, the moment I pay my first payment for student loans, that's the last, like, hope anyone has of convincing me to vote for Joe Biden. Like, I don't even care. It's like, oh, his hands are tied and what? You know what? So sad. Your hands are tied. You have to go back home. Then. Yeah. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Like,
you're the president. That's what you signed up for. Yeah.
My hands are tied, bro. I work 9 to 5. Your hands are not tied, you idiot. Like, it's very.
You're not there for sympathy. You're there to do difficult things.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, I mean, if you can't do your job, then you have to go home. That applies to every job
that's
in this country.
Supposed to be the point of elections.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, like, on a for me, foreign policy, I know for like most voters, foreign policy is not at the top of the list. I do not consider myself a voter because I don't vote for. I've never voted for either party in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Bernie never made it to the ballot.
Not even in primaries?
No.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, I voted for the Green Party guy, even though he's kind of an idiot. What's his name? Howie Hawkins?
Yeah.
Yeah, that dude, I don't know, nothing impressive about him. I really wanted to vote for Kanye last election. If he had any chance of winning, I might have. But, yeah.
Could have ridden him in, or you could ride him in.
I mean, people were like, oh, he's a womanizer, or, oh, he's, I don't know, he's harassing women.
I mean, so is Biden, and so is Trump, and that's the playing field you're playing on.
Yeah.
Get out the whole thing if you don't like that.
And honestly, that is the reason, bro. Like, you know, you sit down with anyone, and you say, I mean, not to, like, say you, like, you know, are transgressing on anyone, or, like, trying to incite, like, confrontational conversations, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you sit down, and you're like, you know, I'm considering voting for for Kanye for president, more likely than not, I mean, anyone who's involved this much won't do it. Really, if anyone's involved this much where they're able to have a succinct conversation about this, they won't go and vote for Kanye.
Yeah.
Or I mean, Trump is a different thing altogether, but Yeah, they won't vote for Kanye. It's more like, hey, you think this guy is crazy, right? What about the other two guys who are leading the race?
Right.
They're also womanizer.
One is crazy, one is senile.
They also have the mean tweets and everything. So what is, like, you know, like, what's the difference?
Mean tweet. Well, the difference is that they've, like, bombed people.
Yeah.
And, like, annihilated countries.
Yeah.
Kanye has not done that. He's done crazy stuff, but, I mean...
Yeah, yeah. Well, he said the mean thing about, like, you know, he said something anti-Semitic this Alex Jones podcast.
Yeah,
and then
he said
he watched Jonah Hill's movie and he doesn't feel that way. He's kind of gone crazy too, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, he has his issues.
You know, Ye is Ye, man. Where he's for the music, bro. Like, you know, I mean, if you're trying to make him a new age Malcolm X or like MLK, well, guess what? You're barking up the wrong tree. Like, yeah, you should let people do their job, which is, hey, Joe Biden, I'm holding you to a higher standard than Kanye.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, going forward, I don't know what to, like, look forward to as far as, like, in mass. Like, hey, there's something on the horizon that'll change something up. And I know this sounds kind of weird, like, oh, Messiah complex type. Like, you know, you need a Messiah figure to, like, function as society. But there is an appeal to a leader, someone like Obama, again, someone just who's able to complete straight, like, just like complete this his own sentences. After Bush, people just flocked to him.
Yeah,
people were just like, oh, this guy's such a great speaker.
He's yeah.
When honestly, I'm gonna be real honest, I never understood the appeal for Obama speaking either. Like, yeah, I know he was able to talk.
He's more composed than Trump. I mean, Bush. Bush couldn't give a good speech, an inspiring speech for shit.
Yeah.
You know, so Obama, but the contrast was there on the surface. Yeah. And so, like you said, I mean, people are going to run to that.
Yeah. Like Reagan. Reagan was actually, I mean, he's an actor. So, yeah, he had charisma. Like, yeah. You hear him speak even in his old age. I've seen his speech in his mid-80s. Not his mid-80s, but in the mid-80s. I'm not sure what age he is at that time. But he was the oldest president, I think, running.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
In the 1984 election. And he won 49 states. And I remember his speech he gave during that time. I forgot exactly what it was, but you're like, wait, this is the oldest man running, and he has just this flair to him. And this is someone who just does not. I have a distaste for Reagan,
of course.
But you gotta call it like it is. This guy could hold a room without any like teleprompter, like without any, you know, able to speak off the cuff even. And I think Clinton had that also, just
Trump
that natural.
That.
Yeah, just like this natural way, just like able to converse, like when you walk, and it's not only on a speech, you see it in every way, walking down the stairs.
Yeah,
like playing.
Yeah, just in general, that's who they are.
Yeah, like just being composed. I remember, like, I forgot who it is. It's one of these slurpers. You know, these they have the Clintons have a bunch of slurpers all over the media sphere, and I forgot who it is, man. It's like this one dude, and he goes like Clinton, when he walked into a room. Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter. Again, not a Clinton fan, or farthest thing from, actually, thank God. But, you know, he knew, like, hey, I'm shaking this guy's hand. Hey, how's your mom? How's your sister? How is, like, Billy
savvy.
Bob?
He was savvy.
Yeah, he knew how to, like, converse, just have that conversation. Now, he did have an advantage that Obama didn't, that he's white.
Yeah.
But,
but they both knew how to navigate, like, those...
I didn't feel
spaces.
Like Obama had that. And again, that's because he had a disadvantage of his skin color. But I didn't think Obama could really just, like, be with the in crowd. Even though, I mean...
Wait, how? He puts out a Spotify playlist every year with his, you know... and he's with the in crowd on his Spotify playlist.
I mean, honestly, the only way I can answer that is, like, quoting, like, you know, Biden. When he's running, he's like, yeah, Obama was not able to work with these guys... Pushing legislation or whatever.
You're talking
I can.
About politically in the
in-crowd. Yeah.
Gotcha,
he's like,
gotcha.
I can. Yeah, yeah, in crowd with the Spotify fools. Well, so
no,
Joe
no,
Rogan.
I thought you meant in crowd as in like a cool guy or whatever.
No, I meant like actually being able to work across the aisle.
That was the idea with getting Biden as VP, though.
That
he is somebody who can work across the aisle and do all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I was about to say, like, you know, like, I mean, he was able to work with the other side. But then again, Clinton, for all, like, the, you know, the stories and all that, like... They also had a shutdown, like the Newt Gingrich stuff happened in the 90s. His own, like, the well, what's that chick's name?
Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah, that stuff happened.
Scandal.
So, and that's just probably the more docile of it. There'll be so many people dying around the Clintons. I mean, I'm just saying, man. If you were a better, like, if you had to go to Louisiana to bet, like, I'm just telling you, you know, like, if 10 people died, I'd be willing to bet $5 that one of them they killed. Maybe not all 10, but one of them at least.
Yeah.
You know, but. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's partially why, like, when you were able to, like, you know, even when this Israel-Palestine has been going on and you try to converse with someone, there's just, like, this, like, there's a hyper-politicization and a political nihilism.
Yeah.
Right? Simultaneously, and I don't know if that, like, how contradictory that is, but...
What's the hyper-politicization?
It's, like... Where is it? I mean, I'm not talking about, like, you know, maybe, like... I'm not talking about, you know, the population in mass right now, I guess.
Okay.
More so, like, amongst our, like, our demographics.
Yeah.
There's, like, a political nihilism of, like, a lack of direction of, like, okay, what is, there's no ideology involved. There's no, like, backdrop of anything. There's no philosophical backdrop to anything happening except for the event itself.
It's bullet point views.
Yeah. And that's why you fall out of love with it so fast, right? Because it's all, hey, well, Ukraine, 7 people died there, and then, like, you know, 6 people died in Taiwan, so now we gotta switch to the Taiwan t-shirt.
Yeah.
And now we gotta wear the Palestine or Israel shirt. And the hyper-politicization is, man, like, I've never seen such a naked show of favoritism towards a political, towards a geopolitical event. It started with Ukraine-Russia last year. You could see it in the corporate world, you know, shutting down offices in Russia, sanctions, SWIFT, like the SWIFT bank issue that they opened up for themselves, honestly. The Pandora's box of, like, de-dollarization started with that. And now with the, you know, same thing with this Israel-Palestine thing. Yes, we always knew there was partiality in the public sphere, in this country at least, with Israel-Palestine. It was just never this... Maybe we weren't of the age. Maybe we weren't... We didn't know better. But you would think, okay, maybe it's like, hey, they're ignoring the issue. Or, hey, something sad happened. It's never been this naked where, like, oh, well, this attack in Israel happened and Israeli people, we stand with them against, like, you know, violent this, that, civilian attacks. And it's like, I don't know. It feels
it's like, very blatant.
It feels like blatant. It's like, hey, you're either, like, you know, in or out. That's it.
Yeah.
You're in or, we don't even want to pretend that this is some kind of, like,
nuanced issue.
Yeah. We're on the wrong side of a debate. We're telling you this is a side of, like, you know, this is where we are.
This is the stance, and that's
and
it.
And you're either in or you're out. And if you're out, bro, you're out good, because we are going to run this. Yeah. Like, we're gonna like, run this down, like, everyone's, like, you know, everyone's Twitter feeds, everyone's, like, the corporate, you know, your corporate world's all on one side of this. The media sphere itself, I mean, honestly, like, a lot of people in our own community are like, hey, why are you yelling on the side of the street about this, and why don't you do something more productive about this? Why are you protesting? Bro, yeah, there ain't no CNN truck outside of here. No one's here to interview us. As in, like, not me and you, but even, like, the leaders of the community, for people, like, with the any Palestinian organization, maybe nothing more than a local paper will come to cover that, if that.
That's something you have to build to.
Man, yeah, and it takes decades.
It takes decades, and it takes people.
Yeah, it takes people.
But the catch-22 is that when the people have this political nihilism, you're fighting an uphill battle, because how do you loop people into a movement that you have to convince them to care about? That's where it gets weird.
Yeah. And I mean, especially if you keep falling in and out of love with it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, convincing...
Again, is it the thing that's going to give you the dopamine hit in the moment?
Yeah. I mean, thing is, you know, again, it's just something that's always, like, you know, in my mind. I don't... If you're on the other side of it, that's one thing. If you've come here and now you're trying to leave, well, that's a different conversation. And you
falling out of interest with
it. And you're like, oh, well, we're with the movement, we're with the people. Okay, then you're on our side now. Okay, I'm not treating you like an enemy, I'm treating you like a comrade. And now when I see you deserting, bro, now you deserve the bullet in the back that you wouldn't put in the, you wouldn't put against your enemy, right? You wouldn't shoot someone in the back. But a deserter, this is a different conversation, different rules. And this is all figurative. I don't want to get dramatic. I'm not trying to shoot nobody ever.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, I don't like to leave my house. Nothing, bro. But, you know, like, figuratively speaking, if I see that, you know, you in your own capacity, in the safety of your own home, can see it. I know it's so naked you can see it and you've seen it already, but you're just not able to express it the way... I don't know.
Well, no, like, I feel like it's that people aren't able to relate. It's not even that they lack the capacity to relate to it. It's that they're just in such a different headspace that's a lot more concerned with what's immediately around them and what's in their personal future. It's very atomized. People kind of looking out for themselves. Clean up your own house before you can, you know, fix the world or whatever. You hear that rhetoric.
Yeah, You know. I mean, or also just like, you know, what is this going to do? Just do whatever you can in your own life and just forget about it. Like, as in, this is literally a point of view.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, none of what you're doing right now, what you mentioned about building up to something. And if people who are part of the group that is leading this keep on falling out of it just by, hey, we don't see the success, we don't see the vision anymore. If that's how flimsy your commitment is, well... That is part of the reason we're not progressing.
And that also speaks to a historical amnesia, right? Of people not realizing that, like, these movements in the past, when you hear about these different movements and these different victories that were achieved, apartheid getting dismantled in South Africa, for example, that's not something where you go to one protest or two or three every year and then, oh, well, because we protested in this city... Now yeah. Apartheid's dismantled. Like, that's not how it works.
Shout out Toronto.
Right? That's not how it works. But it's people expecting that they... Because, again, you'll get bored. If you don't get that...
You need it.
You need that hit. You need that hit.
Not only the dopamine, man. Also, there's that, just that, you know... I don't know if it's validation, but it's just like, you know... Gratification.
That's instant gratification. We need that. There you go.
It's like a couple of weeks, months go by, and you're like, wait a minute.
I'm not getting what I want out of this, which is like something that I'm expecting out of it. So, okay, screw it.
I mean,
an ideological commitment to the cause. It's a commitment based on, hey, this is the exciting thing for me right now. I'm interested in this. It's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Or is my people dying somewhere? I don't want them to die. As long as they live in shit conditions, it's fine.
Yeah,
but
it'll fizzle. It'll fizzle.
Not to downplay the people who are committed to the cause. And right. It's not like, you know, you can't...
There's not enough of those people, that's the thing.
Yeah, I mean... Again, commitment is not like, you know, I understand, like, you know...
There's levels of commitment. Yeah. Something, though. Something. There's a lot of people who could put in something and just don't. Yeah. And at a certain point, you have to wonder... How much of it is just willful, deliberate, like, you know, okay, yeah, there's this nihilistic backdrop of, like, everything is dreary, like, we can only take care of ourselves. But, like, how much of it is at a certain point where it's, like, this is such a complicated issue, there's so much to it. You know what? I'm going to take the lazy answer and say, like, you know, it's out of my control. And at that point, you're deliberately just being, like, I don't want to care anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's
part of it. At a certain point, like, you gotta wonder if it's deliberate for some of these people.
I mean, yeah, I think that question can only be answered after, like, you know, if there is some, like, you know, I don't know, maybe after we die, so that will be the question to be answered. Like, was it stupidity or was it actual, like, just belligerence?
Yeah.
Just like, hey, our own interest is okay, like, involved, we're taken care of, we're good.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's okay, let's just keep this running the way it is, and whoever didn't make it out of the situation, too bad, so sad, maybe in the next life. And or is it stupidity? You don't realize that, hey, like, we are in such a privileged situation that we're able to, like, just do this without having to, like, you know, with the comfort of, like, of legality, honestly, because any other country, no one cares, bro. They'll break your bones. Like, if there's, like, you know, on a wrong day, you know, like, something wrong happens. Like, today we were at the protest and someone let off a firework. Like, two people, as far as I remember.
Was it two?
It was two people with one firework, and there was another dude, you know, a little further away who would let something off in the air, too.
Okay.
And, the noise, it echoes in downtown. Everyone heard it. There's probably I don't know how, I'm not good at counting people, obviously, but it's like, it looked like it was probably easy 2-3 grand, 4 grand, 4,000 people.
Yeah.
And there's babies there, kids there, stuff like that. Now,
they lit it off on the grass, too. It was on the grass.
Yeah.
It's kind of dangerous.
I mean, yeah, I didn't even think about that, honestly.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Shit. I think that's the actual issue with it, is that you know, if there was a fire, then that's...
Well, I mean, you could cause a stampede. You could cause people to run over, right, as kids,
exactly,
there.
Exactly.
I mean, just as you pointing out that it was on grass made me forget completely where I was going with this. I just forgot. I'm like, wait a minute, this guy could have started a fire right there.
Crazy.
I mean, not a guy, honestly. I think he started running, and he looks probably like about 16.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he did not look that old. He was him and the other kid too. The other kid looked like under 18 too. But yeah, why were we talking about this? I have no idea.
We went to a protest earlier today. It was a guy who lit off a firework.
I don't know. It was a fun time. How about that?
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
no, it's good to see so many people out there.
The nihilism associated with protests. You can express that nihilism without. I mean, you can express that nihilism while going, improve something while being a part of it. But taking yourself away from it and being like, well, now I'm not part of this because it's not good enough.
But improving it requires you to not be lazy about it. And it's not even about laziness. They won't be lazy to other things, but it requires you to care more than you might find comfortable.
Yeah, you have to care about it when you don't want to care about it. That's the whole... I mean, again...
It's a commitment.
Yeah.
It's a commitment.
If you're willing to, like, I mean... If it's something that disposable, then you have to, like... Then just reassess. Maybe you care about something else, you know? And you don't need to have an opinion on every single thing, but I found over the past week... I found people that I knew discouraging other folks from attending this stuff. Hey, this has no meaning. This won't get you anywhere. This won't do anything for you. And it's like, again, I understand it's fruity to say, can anything be unconditional? Like, I'm not saying like love or unconditional, like, you know, trust or something. But like, we're literally talking about people getting bombed or like people who are out on the streets. And they're not asking you for no money. I mean, honestly, I mean, I'm not someone who appeals to people's emotions either.
Yeah.
But it's like... They're like, yo, you know, like some people
just
gather
a couple hours.
Hey, let's just meet up somewhere. Yeah. You know, we'll just meet up somewhere. We'll just talk about it. We'll just, you know, chill out, wear a flag. And it's like, what is this going to do for you, man? Is it going to get you money, bro? Like, bro, just shut up.
What's
like,
hanging out with your friends going to do for you?
This hustle, like, this fake, honestly, it comes from, like, I guess the hustle, like, what is it called? Like, the, you know.
Hustle culture.
Hustle culture?
Yeah.
Like, it's like a weird mixture of hustle culture with lazy people.
Yeah.
Hey, you could be doing something better. Like smoking hookah with me.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like, it's... I was very disappointed in, like, even... Like, the dissenting voices in any movement are so necessary. I feel like that... I've taken pride myself in, like, hey, if you're serving no other purpose, at least you can point out what's not right. But it's different
when... one thing is being constructive... And saying, hey, okay, this may not be that effective. What can we do? Opening up that discourse. But instead, you go straight to, well, just don't worry about it. And that's easy for you to do. You cannot worry about it when you're living in suburbia, right? Very nicely manicured Disneyland. Like, you don't see anything going on. And the things you do, the atrocities you see... on Twitter, on whatever, you can shut that off. You know, if it's too graphic for you, you can just scroll. But the people who are on the ground and they're asking you, hey, speak out, raise your voice, they can't forget about it because they're in it, you know. The least you could do is heed that call by taking 2 hours out of your month out, right? You work 40 hours a week and just add 3 hours onto that.
I mean, honestly, it is very like easy, especially for people who look like us, because you can always wear that garb. Your skin color gives it away. you're always gonna have that garb of like, oh well, I'm from there. I'm not a privileged person. I'm darker than you. I'm like, you know, I mean, so what if I live? I say that too. I live in a great neighborhood now, but you know, anyone's like, hey, are you from here? I'm like, hey, man, I came from here, here, and here, and here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's okay, and that's great, but at some point, if your actions, your values do not reflect where you come from anymore, they're more about your interests now.
Yeah.
Then you are from here.
Yeah.
And we are in a very convenient situation where we can be from here and simultaneously, you know, also claim that, hey, you know, we're not. We're actually, you know, we're just immigrants that we're just trying to make it, and we're right like the people back home.
When it's favorable and cool to you know, not be white.
Yeah.
Yeah. Indulge,
yeah,
in that,
but also keep all the same values. I mean, you see it here, the most ultra white people in the, and again, not to be racist, there's a lot of like good white people, I'm sure, somewhere, but
yeah,
but like, you know, there's a lot of white people in this country right now, like, they're all for that too. They're like, hey, you know, everyone just do your own thing. If you don't make it, it's your own issue.
But that's the whole thing, is when you have diaspora people come here and become like that too. Mm-hmm. While maintaining a lot of their like tradition in terms of their language and whatnot, so they still have this thing of like, no, we're still like, you know, we're not assimilated, we have our own thing. But in the mind, that liberal individualism and the nihilism that comes with that, it's gonna seep in, you know. Yeah. And then you'll make these kind of arguments.
I mean, you're going to see more and more of this with every issue. Right now, this is more in our periphery, but I'm sure in other communities, whatever is, you know, at the forefront of their struggle,
right?
You see it there, where in the U.S., man, like, it's just a crazy environment. Not to sound like just like a high school chick, but it's just crazy, bro. Like, people just act in more volatile ways. And you see that in the politic in a weird way where we're ending up with the same milquetoast people, but the way to get there is just so much more like toxic than it used to be.
Yeah.
It was always corrupt. It was always rigged. Like the 2000 election was also rigged, but you didn't have people storming the Capitol. Now, I'm not saying it was a revolt or some bullshit like that. I'm just saying, like, you wouldn't think of that happening to the U.S. Capitol. In my mind, it's, I never thought about it. Yeah. It was just something like, you know, like the Secret Service would come and then, you know, you're, next thing you know, you're dead in the water or something. I don't know. But now, it's just, the environment is like, you know, whoever can get away with something will do it. And even if they can't, they'll still do it because they got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
It's just weird. I feel like so much of that was reflected in when people voted for Trump the first time. Like, hey, man, we don't care. We're just voting for this guy. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, all your shirt, suit, tie people, fuck off.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that might have been the kickstart of this, but COVID, overall the economy, that's just made it so much worse, where people are just thinking so much more short term.
Yeah.
So much more like, hey, I mean, I don't know what the reason is, but I guess people realize, like, hey, life's too short, in a way.
But then that brings about a certain impatience, which, in cases like these, doesn't really work out.
I mean, yeah, that's why the outlook shouldn't be that positive, regardless of where you stand.
But what do you mean?
Oh, I mean, for people of our ilk, whatever is happening, I mean, right now, it is groundbreaking in Israel-Palestine. But if you are of the more, like, casual brand of U.S. political enthusiast,
yeah,
if you're just a casual observer of this, I mean, even the most, primitive analysis of the political climate of this country should tell you, like, the next 4-8 years are going to be an ugly time.
Yeah.
There's a leadership vacuum. I mean, you saw right now with the House. I mean, Kevin McCarthy's been there for a long time. Again, these people are all imbeciles and they're all inept. But just you doing something repeatedly just makes you better at it. And this guy's been there a long time. Well, he's not there no more. And I mean, by all, I don't want to speak out of turn, but Joe Biden himself, I mean, I can't see him losing as an incumbent, but every time I see him, I'm like, there's no way this guy can win. And Trump, for all his like BS, he's in the picture.
Yeah.
Right? He's maintained that somehow. And I don't know if it's like his own charisma. I honestly think he's a brand.
He's made a brand out of himself. So whether he's the president or not, he's Trump.
No, it says no one else. I don't know. I don't think it's a brand. I mean, the branding is there, and he's always been like.
But there's no one else who has a brand. Is what you're, like? There's nobody else who has that profile.
They don't have the profile, or honestly, just the ability to communicate, which sounds stupid because, Trump is a he's not some like He's not a great speaker or something.
He's not a great speaker, but he's able to communicate his point in the way that he wants it to hit.
Yeah, and that is the way, honestly, like, as someone who is, like, belligerent himself, I'm telling you, like, it is so annoying when people are calm talking about this stuff. They're like, oh, why are you emotional? We're talking about Israel-Palestine. You're living here. Oh, why are you emotional about this, that?
And that's the crux of the issue, the you're living here thing.
Yeah,
bro. Not seeing yourself as a part of a collective.
If you care enough to actually dedicate enough time, you research your thing, you look, forget anything. You believe this is the truth. Well, then if the other guy comes and he's telling you something like, the night is day or like, blue is green or something, of course you're going to argue with him about it. And if it's something about life and death for someone else, you should be pissed off.
Yeah.
If it's about like something that's repeatedly happening, that's like, okay, maybe it doesn't affect you personally, but it affects other people. But you just know it to be wrong. And if you're my best friend, I see you every day. You're sitting next to me right now. If you came to me and you said, hey, whatever is wrong is right now. Bro, I don't care how well I know you. I'd argue with you to the end. And it might not be pretty. And that does not make me wrong.
It's an issue of principle.
Yeah, it does not make me wrong. It's like, well, you're not talking to me the right way. Well, you're an idiot. Huh? How about that? So same thing. Well, I mean, Trump, like, all these guys that came, Jeb Bush and Hillary, like, you're not being nice to me. You're not a nice person. And guess what? Everyone's saying, bro, times are rough. Everyone's pissed. Why are you not pissed? That means things are not bad for you.
Right.
That means you're... And thing is, Trump is saying, well, things are good for me because I don't follow what they're saying. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess, like, that has its own, like, way of, like, reaching people. They're like, at least, let's rub it into these guys' faces.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's what it seemed like, troll-like voting to me. A lot of times, like, people were doing for Trump originally. And... I mean, this time around, I think people have genuine, like, cause. This student loan repayment starting a year out from the elections, like, we're 13 months out from the elections, less than that. And we're putting this on the people right now when inflation is the way it is, no one can buy a house. I saw today in Harris County, rent has gone up 29% in 1 year.
Damn.
Now, I don't know what the hell the rent was before, but I know 29% increase is a lot. Like, I don't know. And I don't know how anyone's living and, like, saving and able to just, like, function. And especially with, like, return to office, thank God, like, I'm just chilling at home. I work from home. But if you're commuting...
You're saving on gas money, big time.
I mean, I'm saving on time, money, life. Thank God, everything. Thank God every day for this.
The stress of commuting is so annoying.
Yeah, I'm thinking, how are people doing this, bro? How are you going to work, spending the gas, the time and traffic,
45 minutes of...
Coming back, and then, like, inflation the way it is, you can't buy anything, you can't do anything for yourself, and simultaneously be saving enough money to, like... Just have...
Save towards something. So
yeah.
It's not the same. You can't do that.
I mean, if you're trying to close on a decent house in this city right now, you need, you need a significant chunk. You need the money that you don't have. How about that? You take whatever money you have right now and add, $80,000 to it.
Yeah.
And then there you have the amount. But... Yeah, I mean, there's reason that things are toxic, and there's reason there's so much like crosstalk and so much like, you know, I honestly respect the polarization more than the nihilism. The polarization, even if you're wrong, at least, you know, like, you're standing on your own interest.
Right.
There's nothing you can respect less than like someone not standing on their own interest.
Now, well, but that taking that nihilism, that itself is a stance.
Right? Of course, and that's the personal interest.
And that's where I'm saying, like, sometimes it seems almost like willful, deliberate.
Yeah, but the people who perpetuate that, I feel like, I don't know. I mean, at least the ones in my proximity, they don't seem like the people who'd be complete assholes. I want to believe that they're stupid instead. That makes me feel better about them.
Yeah.
I don't ask the question. Sure. I'm like, are you stupid or an asshole? Well, let's just leave it up for, you know, I don't know. Let's just leave it for a later day.
Who knows?
I doubt they do.
Yeah. They don't know. Otherwise, things would be different.
I doubt they think they're stupid, but they won't admit that they're assholes. So which one is it, buddy?
As long as we can be comfy and, I mean, you know, in our armchairs and, you know, do a little bit.
This is not the fault of the average person and obviously the forces at work. And I mean, transitioning to like a serious note, like it's not the fault of the average person in this country that this is happening. There is just no one to like give a dissenting opinion. There's no educated voice, organized voice, no organized leftist voice, no like conglomerate of like communities.
No
like,
proper
hey,
movement.
There's no religious like, you know, like community that is like, hey,
that's
we're
dead here. That's the, dead in this country.
Like interfaith community, like, you know, being like, hey, these are the values we're all standing on. Or there's none of that. And that social isolation. You saw it during like COVID. No one was crying about not being able to go to church. But people were dying about going to the bar for some reason. Yeah. It's like, come on, guys, please.
Right. Oh, I feel
sad for you.
I think the COVID thing also made a lot of people more just kind of like, you know, screw it. Like, I didn't get to have fun. You know, now I just want to kind of just do my thing.
I mean, for good or for worse,
I feel like after
right?
COVID, there's that people discourses got a lot less serious.
Yeah,
there's a lot more like it's a lot more lighthearted. It's a lot more trolling, you know, meme culture trolling. People don't take things seriously, like they should.
Yeah, that
as
is
compared
true.
To before,
that is true.
I feel like maybe that's just because everyone was online.
Man, I mean, the thing is, so much of that serious stuff has been, again, and again, going back to, if there was an actual, organized, serious, I'm talking about serious leftist opposition in this country, or, like, not even leftist, maybe just someone who's, like, sane, then they'd be able to, like, convey this, like, get this dissenting opinion out there to people, get this, like, put this into the zeitgeist, at least.
But I think... I don't know about that. I feel like everybody knows that shit's bad. Like, no one doesn't know that. It's your choice as to whether you want to put knowing what's right and wrong, good and bad, on your list of priorities, and how high on your list of priorities, or whether the 2 feet in front of you is all you care about. Because there's no way you can say, okay, yeah, there's no leadership that's going to inspire somebody to get behind something. But dude, you have the internet. And you know shit's bad. Go on Wikipedia, at least. I mean, but not even that.
I don't know, because think about it, though. Like, what are you going to... Like, I know things are
bad. A movement builds from there, right? A grassroots organic movement builds from a group of people who are just people who are interested, passionate, take out the time, and are like, let's do something.
Yeah, but without an ideological framework that is deployed by, I mean, intelligentsia of the movement, how are these people going to get the lens to view a problem? And that's my, like, if I see something's bad, I see a homeless guy, I can give him $5. But my level of analysis of that situation can end right then and there. Like, oh, I gave him the $5, problem solved, right?
Yeah.
Or I could be like, hey, why is this guy homeless? Yeah, I gave him the money, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying do it in lieu of one or the other.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the guy is asking you for money. No, let me analyze the situation instead. No, I mean, you're like, why is this happening? How do I have the money and he does not?
Yeah.
Why is it? And it's like, well, I'm working. Why doesn't he work too? Like, yeah. These are natural questions that should occur to you. And
but it seems like that process is just not.
And you're saying, I mean, do you think that's also willful?
Possibly. Because it's like, again, basic sense of, you know, you want to be with what's right. You don't want to be with what's wrong. You want to be against what's wrong. And you know that there's right and wrong. Everybody knows the government's corrupt, for example. Like, that's a common fact.
Well, right and wrong is told to us by what? I mean, if it's not religion, then it's movies, pop culture. What else is there that's telling you right
and
wrong? Well,
as in people generally speaking know that they live in a system where bad stuff happens. It's that curiosity, do you want to ask those questions? And I feel like at a certain point, you will ask those questions. But how soon are you going to get bored of the topic?
I mean, I feel like the questions are only going to be asked by the populace in this country when they are personally affected. When they personally get affected by an issue, then they're, you know, down for that level of analysis and all of that. And that's because, I mean, again, going back...
But then what's that analysis going to be based on then?
I mean, honestly, like...
No framework.
A lot of personal interest and just feel-good stuff. Yeah. I mean, like, what do you think politics is right now? Like, with Joe Biden...
Sloganeering.
Hillary, yeah, it's a bunch of platitudes.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of, like, feel-good stuff. Hey, I know bad stuff happened before, but kumbaya now.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, the Democratic Party keeps on doing this. I mean, at least the Republicans are like, hey, everything is messed up, we'll fix it. But the Democrats are like... Oh, this is... I remember, like, what is that? I forgot his name. Is it Fukuyama? He has the end of history.
Francis Fukuyama, yeah.
The end of history. Like, oh, yeah. The Soviet Union is gone now.
The liberal order has taken the world, and, you know, capitalism and liberalism has sort of become the new world order.
And then, like, you know, stability. Like, 15 years later when, like, you know, racism ended officially when Obama got his second term or first term, and then when Hillary ran, it's like, everything is great, everything is good. But what's that? Steven Pinker? Pinker? I think it's his name, the Harvard professor. It's like in data-wise, everything is increasing and everything is great in the world overall, getting better. So we should feel good about it. And, bro, that's not, you know, like right from wrong, like deriving it from charts or this kind of like... Like, forget the charts and stuff. It's not even getting that far, honestly. Like, getting it from these sloganeering and this like weird, like, let's just be nice to each other. Guys, why can't we just be nice to each other? As if people have been fighting because they're assholes, and once you tell, it's like the, what was that? It's like that chick who gave the Pepsi to the soldier or the cop during BLM. Was that
Kylie Jenner? Kendall Jenner, one of them.
It's literally that commercial, except for it's like extrapolated over 330.
Just don't think
people.
About anything. Just don't think about anything. Just stop fighting. Just stop it.
And
stop
buy
it.
This drink.
Stop it. Yeah, here, just drink this drink.
Just please, just drink this.
Yeah,
calm down. Yeah.
Just calm down. Settle down. Settle down now. Enough is enough.
That's enough out of you. Just drink this and shut up. The tone slide just slowly gets more aggressive to the point where you're not even getting the drink anymore. He's like, "You want this? Shut up, and I might give it to you. I might sell you this." But yeah, I mean. Overall, though, from if you look at it zooming out from a more internationalist perspective, I feel like there's so much more hope right now with
in other parts of the world.
Yeah, and I feel like this country, best case scenario, hopefully, that option still remains is, hey, do we want to go off into the sunset like Denmark and Belgium, like the Dutch and you know, or do we want to end up like the UK is right now? Because if we think that we're going to be able to protect our, you know, economic colonies around the world and do what we've been doing for the past 30 years, 40 years, 50... I mean, depends on how long you want to go.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. And people... So much issue is, you know, when the... I mean, a bit tangential... in the 90s, you know, like all this TV, MTV, everything became the biggest thing in the world. Yeah. you know, Michael Jordan's the best player ever, Nike's the best shoe ever, Pepsi's the best Coke ever, yeah. Michael Jackson's the best singer ever, everyone's the best, Emmitt Smith's the best running back ever, everyone's the best ever in the 90s. And same way, like, we just, like, got, you know, and, like, people here got acclimated with, like, yo, you go on a plane ride to Germany, they're going to love you and kiss your feet because you're American. Everyone just loves America, and we're, like, there's, like, this new order. There's, like, you know, and...
Not that, quite the case anymore.
Or everyone's going to... And if they don't love you, they're probably assholes that we're going to bomb anyways. Or, like, yeah. they probably want to be us. They hate us for our freedom.
Right.
Well, with the internet and stuff, and now China, Russia, Ukraine, all these things that... Like, all these things that have happened over the past 20 years, the war in Iraq on... Honestly, I feel like the U.S. had global support during the war on terror, and the war in Iraq really took that away. And... 20 years, 20 and a half years now, moving, you know, forward, the lack of political capital the U.S. has now compared to what, like, you would think
they would... Lost their credibility.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. Like, we are, like, in mass acclimated with this thinking, this colonial mindset. Even the people who are from there, like, mindset, of Orientalist mindset of, oh... I have made it out of, like, Karachi or whatever, so obviously I know better now because I know where you live, and I have been, I know the customs of this place now, of the colonial masters, so I mean, the thing is...
Now I've made it to a level where...
I live in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in the house.
I can just do my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, like, is... Right now, unearned. Maybe in 1995, someone could have said that works because there was no other contender for the crown. Right now, honestly, there's no reason for anyone, like, to pretend anymore that the U.S. is in any position to dictate world affairs. Not to the extent that the sole hegemon should be dictating affairs.
Right.
Right. This Ukraine-Russia thing, people said, well, Russia hasn't won. Well, guess who else didn't win, buddy? Like, I understand, like, the issues Russia has had with Ukraine and how that benefits the U.S. moving forward, this prolonged proxy war on the border of Russia. At the same time, I mean... The U.S.'s main allies are permanently fucked right now in terms of gas, and unless they decide to buy overpriced U.S. gas that we're going to send to them over the Atlantic.
Or unless they buy Russian gas anyway that India just, like, yeah, dilutes with their gas so they don't have to label it as Russian gas and sell it to Europe and America anyway.
Yeah, and while they're busy trying to figure out the supply chain issue there, they're losing all their influence in Africa, where they're getting all their natural resources, all their oil, nuclear, their uranium.
Yep, minerals.
And it's... I mean, I think we're quickly approaching a time... I mean, maybe 20 years ago, you would have said 100 years of American dominance over the world. And currently, I can't see a century of American dominance right now.
No. Well, they called it the new American century in the 90s or in the early 2000s. There was some, like, document released where there was talking about, like, creating a new American century. 20 years in, that's not looking, so likely.
New American century, we would be lucky to have a good, stable 5 to 10 years. Right now, Trump runs, has, I don't know, whoever has his VP, Rubio, let's say, even though that's far-fetched.
Little Marco.
Hypothetically speaking, let's say it's Marco Rubio, whatever. Or Chris Christie, I don't know.
Yeah.
And the other guy is, Biden, and I guess if they decide to let go of Kamala, then... Who will be the...
Who do they even have who's, like...
Andrew Yang, let's say. Sure. Something. That's going to be the next 12 years.
Yeah.
And out of those four people, would... And I mean, is that the recipe for success? That's going to happen? I
know one of them is going to die before the other one's 8 years is up.
I mean, then we have Andrew Yang. I mean, we'll get a grand
true.
A month.
That's true.
But I don't know. I mean, a grand a month doesn't sound that bad right now, to be honest.
Dude, if I had another grand, an extra grand a month, my life would look different.
Yeah. I wonder at that time. I mean, that honestly. Yeah, he wouldn't give us the other crap, but I don't know. You know what? You might have just convinced me. Or I might have just
Yang
convinced
gang.
Myself.
Yang gang.
Yeah, I guess Biden, I mean...
Sorry, Democrats, we're jumping ship, joining the forward party. Not left, not right.
Oh, yeah, never
forward.
Mind. That dude has his own party.
Yeah, the forward party.
Are they running or anything?
I have no idea.
No way.
I haven't heard shit
totally
from them
forgot.
Recently.
I totally forgot.
Or at all, actually. Yeah. Well, his career got screwed over when he was so, like, blatantly in support of Israel. When he was running for New York governor or whatever he was running for in New York, I don't know. That screwed him over.
Yeah.
Like, the popular support that he had from, like, the demographic that he had, they were like, nah.
I guess maybe he didn't realize he might have been in a district that wasn't as supportive of that.
So he was in a district that apparently had, like, a lot of, like, wealthy people in, like, the Jewish, like, business community. So I think he wanted to make sure he caters to, like, what they want as his constituents. But then, you know, you're not reading the room.
I mean, yeah.
You're not reading the room.
I think he made the analysis, which a lot of people, you know, they do when it comes to this. It's like make on graphs and charts. It's like, well, I just need 51% of the vote. So
right.
If
technically,
I get,
this, that,
yeah.
whatever.
And yeah, you only need 51% of the vote, but you don't want 49% of the people cussing you out either, right?
Right.
Like, I mean, yeah, that's a weird way to live. Like, so I guess as a politician, like, you shouldn't be making that analysis. But again, he is not a politician, he's a consultant. And you can tell when he's talking, because as a consultant, I know when someone else is bullshitting, because I'm bullshitting all day, all the time. So when you're standing on stage and you're, like, you know, doing the platitude sandwich stuff that, you know, Beto was doing, you're like, okay, the consultant trained you. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And when he's doing it, Andrew Yang, and he's able to pull up all these numbers and express it in this way and sell you the product of $1,000 a month, and he's associated with the product, and, you know, Yang Gang.
That
the
was
branding.
His brand, yeah.
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 Well, you see the McKinsey, like, consultant. Like, you see it in yeah. the, like, you know... Now, I don't know how much of a cost-benefit analysis he himself made for his own career, given that he could have bartered for more than a... What? He had, like, a little segment on MSNBC for a while, and they started his own BS party. So, he could have asked
he
for
some
kind of...
He wrote a book, too.
Yeah, he could have asked for some kind of, like, you know, economics, like, some, like, secretary of, like, something, right?
Yeah.
Instead,
yeah.
like, you got a book tour out of that? Yang Gang, come on, bro.
He killed his shit when he screwed up on New York. That was the end of his political career, man. Because everybody who supported him started dogging on him. After that, like, what, you got a few tech bros who like you?
Yeah.
Because he was running as, like, a Bernie alternative kind of dude.
That's why, you know, like, everyone who's like, oh, get out the vote, everyone needs to vote, register to vote. Listen, bro, if there's someone running that's worth it, it's a nice, like, I'm not talking about a nice guy, I'm talking about, like, there's a decent ideological tilt,
then the vote's going to be rigged to make sure that person doesn't win.
Yeah, and if you want to try anyways, go for it. No one's judging. Honestly, like, again, you want to write in Kanye, I'm not judging. As long as you don't vote for, like, you don't vote for either of these assholes, I'm not judging you.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, again, but I am judging you if you're freaking, like, making this, like, a sanctimonious thing. Get out to vote. You need a vote. Just shut up, bro. That's not solving anything. It's just an activity.
That's gaslighting, honestly.
Yeah. Like, pretend, and also, like, pretending there's not a discrepancy, like, of how easy it is to vote. Again, I live in a nice neighborhood. It takes me, like, 20 minutes to vote. And when we were getting the people at U of H out to vote, they're going into a line that's going to be 8-9 hours. No one can pass out a fucking sandwich without you getting in trouble by the cops. Bro, like, this pretension of like, oh, just get out to vote, or like, it sounds so dumb because you're like, do you understand how difficult it is for people to vote sometimes? I saw in Georgia last big election, well, in 2020, in March primary, it was the March primaries, and people are standing in line for 12 hours or something, like all day.
Crazy, yeah.
And you're just like, we're just going to pretend that's not an issue that needs to be addressed. Like, anyone who's saying get out the vote, then go freaking first fix that.
Yeah.
Now you got to forget your slogan and your platitude sandwich. Make it accessible. And now you got to go back and, like, tell your guy that you're, like, you know, carrying the water for. By the way, why can't we make it easier for these guys to vote? Like, pass out a water bottle or something, right? Why is that? You don't want to get to that level of analysis. And it's not only at the bottom rung. It's at the, again, it's the intelligentsia of the movement itself. Whatever movement you want to, you know, whatever constitutes a movement in this country. It's the Bernie movement, the media figures for that, you know, let's say for like the Republicans, it's Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck for the past 20 years. Well, for like Bernie, it was these guys like Kyle Kulinski.
Yeah.
And I don't know who else's show he went on. TYT, let's say, or something like that. Which has been the face, for good or for worse, for like, you know, for a while.
For worse.
And going on a separate topic, they had some weird Israel-Palestine, like, 50-50, like, both siding the issue recently.
That's the liberal thing, right? Like, yeah. we don't agree with atrocities at all. It's an All Lives Matter type of deal.
Yeah.
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 It's an All Lives Matter type of deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean...
Which is, again, it's one thing for a straight-up right-winger to be like, no, Black Lives don't matter. It's another thing for, like, somebody to, like, try to obfuscate the issue by, like, saying, yeah, it does, but also all lives. And there's something more insidious to that, and it's more...
Yeah. I mean, I just want a new slogan. Honestly, on a lighter, like, just for, like, a lighter note, like, today I went to a protest, and they had a Palestine Lives Matter thing. We need our own slogans. Some guy had that shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen.
No, I think there's enough slogans, but why do people have to keep reverting to other people's, like, you know, BLM, Black Lives Matter that's a specific slogan. I remember
Tariq Ali had a great story about this. He has a speech on YouTube. I think it's called something about the death of Europe or something. And he spoke about this Italian election happening in 2012 or 2013. And the guy running for this election in Italy... he had his campaign slogan was, "Yes,
yeah,
we can."
Yeah, it was "Yes, we can." Yeah,
and
I've
again,
heard of
that itself, again, it's just like, yeah, these guys are out in the streets. They're politically ready to do something. They're like, you know, hyper-polarized. They're like, hey, we're gonna kill you. You're gonna kill us, Palestine, Israel, whatever. And then you have that lack of like the nihilism part. You know what? Let's just rebrand this whole thing into some like Palestine Lives Matter. There you go. Right? This is like... And now next time it'll be Ukraine Lives or some like Taiwanese Lives
Matter.
It's like or yes, this time we can.
This time we can, yeah.
I mean...
Hopefully.
Yeah.
But it's very bleak outlook. You would think that the people who are more nihilistic would be the people who are... really going through it. But when you see like the Palestinian resistance on the ground, they're very hopeful and very optimistic. And it's crazy to see those messages coming out, and then on the other hand, people who have no reason to be nihilistic. I mean, as in like, yeah, the society for over here is not going in any great direction, but it's like, okay, you're comfy, you're good.
Safe.
You live in a nice house, you're doing all right. The nihilism is there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's crazy.
There's a lack of optimism of the will, and this overtly, like, you know, pessimism of the intellect, or lack thereof. Honestly, lack of intellect, not lack of pessimism.
Yeah,
and yeah, you're right. The completely opposite of, like, you know, like, you talk to anyone who's actually, like, you know, been on the ground or been associated with anyone, like, who's like been in the occupied territories, and I'm not talking about Emma, you know. Muslim, MLI, whatever.
Oh, yeah,
about,
yeah, yeah.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, people who actually put in the work or, like, you know, doing something. And they're optimistic, bro. And that's part of it. If you have that zeal, you have that belief, defeat, it's only temporary. You're gonna keep on going, and if the end is defeat, then oh well, you know. Like, but if you're constantly this results oriented, hey, what is this gonna do for me? What is the protest gonna do for you? What is this gonna do for what? Like, okay, well then, I mean, every cause benefit analysis ends with being like, this isn't worth it.
Yeah,
you're not getting paid for it.
Right.
I mean, you're not, forget the paying. You're not, you know, you're spending time, money on something you might never see in your lifetime. That gratification might never come.
Right. Right. At that point, you're never, yeah.
Yeah. And then what?
And then you died and you lived a self-fulfilling life, but, you know, at the end of the day, you were probably a liability overall.
Unfortunate. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Because I found...
You're an asset to nobody but yourself. At that point, you're a liability. Because you're consuming and you're not contributing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that it's top-down, in my opinion. I think, you know, you were saying, you know, it's more bottom-up. For me, it's top-down because...
I'm not denying that that's part of it, though. I mean, for sure, like, people will gravitate towards... leadership, and if there's no leadership, then it's gonna be things, people will be scattered, right? There has to be something that like kind of glues people together and centralizes things. So with the lack of that, it's harder. But I'm saying, like, it's ridiculous the extent to which, you know, like I don't know, like, if how far people have, again, seemingly almost in a way, not insidiously, but just kind of maybe lazily chosen to just not take another step and find out more. Or to not
COVID
sit
did that
there and
too.
Do the critique. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Before COVID, you know, like, I mean, even during the initial stages of COVID, people were ready to go out in the street, you know, whatever is going on, like, you know, BLM was happening. And then after COVID, it's just like, you know, again, it's hard to say it's nihilism. It's hard to say it's like polarization. It's not one thing. It's like multitude of things happening simultaneously.
Well, on the other hand, then you have like the labor unions, which are active, right? So again, it's the people who are like going through it.
The labor unions are
who have something in
my lifetime.
Yeah.
So that's something very positive.
They have something to hope for, right? But it's like you're not even in that situation, and you're projecting your own nihilism onto.
Personally speaking, though, like just from my vantage point, I am not comfortable raising a family in this country. Over the next decade, two decades, 30 years, let's say, I cannot trust the leadership of this country to, like, and yeah, and when it comes to 30 years, leadership
matters. Oh, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, in the next 4 years, maybe it doesn't matter who's going to be president. Next 30 years or so, it's going to matter. And if you're trying to raise a family here, your kids growing up here and going to public school, trying to, like, you know, go to college here, you're trying to saddle. I mean, I'm not comfortable giving the advice to anyone to go to the college right off the bat right now. Yeah, that might be your only way to get a decent job. That decent job that won't pay you enough to make the payments on your house and your student loan.
Right.
Right? So then you're back to, you're not even back to square one, because now you have
square
the liability
zero,
of a mortgage
yeah.
without a house.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're you're trying to make an honest living, you're a working class person in this country, the outlook is way, way off. And if you're, from me, I'm trying to see, yo, is there a way I can go to like Mexico or like Toronto or something and just like get the hell out of here?
Toronto's expensive.
Yeah,
Canada's getting crazy expensive.
Yeah.
Like the West Coast, East Coast, Canada's getting, or like
all the cheap
honestly.
Places have a lot of minorities, so that's an issue.
How the tables have turned.
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't know. Maybe somewhere in Europe, but even, I don't know.
Europe's a shithole, man.
Maybe like move to Qatar or something for like a Qatar or like
move
Oman.
To Oman. Oman's got nothing. They're chilling.
Yeah,
they're chilling. They got nothing going on. They're just, you know, mediate conflicts when they can, and that's it. They don't do anything else, pretty much. I mean, not to shit on them, but like they're just, you know.
Nah, you
chilling.
Know what? I'm ready to just chill, man. I'm tired of this crap. I'm tired of it.
So I go through this thing where I come to that conclusion, but then I'll catch another wind. And it goes back and forth.
What is the wind? What is the wind?
As in, like, nah, let's do it, you know? Like, rather than being resigned. And like right now I feel kind of resigned just because of like seeing the lack of seriousness behind this, behind these kind of issues.
Bro, dude, unserious. Like there's like, I mean, there's so little like of the conversation that you want to.
It feels isolating, honestly. It feels isolating.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is.
And then so it feels isolating, and then you get a sense of like other people think you're like crazy or something.
Well, I mean, like-minded people are weird too. Like, because I mean, I've chilled with just like, you know, hey, we're like a bunch of like, you know, there's a group of like just commies or Marxists, whatever they want to describe themselves as. And now there's like a values, like, I mean, not to sound like a difficult person, but there's weird, like, you know, there's a weird, like, social Marxism, I guess, for lack of a better term. Like,
what do you mean?
Cultural Marxism. How about that? Like, you know, like, it's more like, hey, we're going to label ourselves this because we are against cultural norms in this country, as opposed to the economics of it.
Oh, so like some counterculture type shit.
Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, or, you know, LGBTQ, patriarchy, misogyny.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And while I understand those are like, you know, issues in isolation or whatever, in mass, whatever it is, I don't, like, I understand, that's not the crux of my political, like, ideology, right? And, like, when I say I'm a Marxist, I'm talking about, like, you know, I'm trying to, if I say I'm a Marxist, I'm saying, hey, I'm a historical materialist. That's the lens I'm viewing the world through.
Right.
I view everything like with keeping in mind the power dynamic and the material interest between all stakeholders.
Right.
That's how I have to view this situation. And it's automatic. It's not something I'm telling myself. That lens can be provided by the guys that are on TV that are of our ilk. Or, I mean, say they're of our ilk. Again, going back to the Bernie campaign, people like the Kalinskis or whatever. Kyle, I mean, not the Kalinskis. What is he? The couple?
Kalinskis.
What are they? He's married now with
the other Kate one. The other anchor, Crystal.
Crystal Ball. Kate Ball. Ball. The Balls. So, like, you know, like, I mean, thing is, I really liked him up till like 2020, 2021. Like, he's like really pushing like the Bernie thing. I like that. And then, like, you know, just this, like, oh, like, I'm just, like, all out on Biden. Just, like, going in all the way on that. And just, like...
Well, you see, I first realized this when he screwed up on foreign policy. When I first realized he screwed up, because he was talking more about, like, Medicare for All and these kind of different things. But then he had something on some foreign policy issue. I don't remember off top. And he screwed up. And I was like, yeah, that's it. Because these Western leftists, when it comes to their sense of internationalism, it's shit. They'll still have Orientalist and imperialist tropes that they apply to these other countries. They'll still pathologize other countries with the same tropes. Oh, these guys are crazy. These guys are, you know, barbaric. And they're like, yeah, we're leftists and we want justice and this and that. I mean, you're stuck in a paradigm where... You know, your paradigm of fairness is itself, like, constricted. And it constricts your ability to objectively apply that and afford other people, like, the consideration that you would afford somebody who looks or talks or thinks like you or acts like you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's a commonality that all Americans share, regardless of your religion, your skin color.
Yeah.
Just the inability to, like... empathize with another person's position or perspective and like analyze like the dynamic
and get out of your like shoes and really like feel
that is completely lost on anyone living in this at least in this part of the country. Maybe, you know, people are friendlier in Seattle or like, I don't know, in DC or something. I highly doubt it, but maybe they're friendlier in Montana. In Houston, Texas, bro, like, I don't know. I go out on the street or something, and it's not like, you know, it's not like doom and gloom, like, oh, like the plants are dying or something. There's just this weird like aura of like people are not sure. People don't know what's gonna happen. And I'm not like people had a sense of security even in 2000, 2004, yeah. up till maybe even the financial crisis, sometime maybe after that when Obama came and all that. They don't have that sense of security in the system anymore. They
right.
don't think like this system is functioning in a way where they can lead the lives that they have. And I don't feel like that. I agree with that. I don't feel that this country is functioning in a way that even people who were before beneficiaries of this apparatus, I don't find them to be satisfied with the way this is functioning. Yeah, the oppressed people were pissed off at it, but at least people who were living here for the first 150 years or so, you had free land and free labor.
Yeah.
You're chilling. And since then, you know, we've been the sole hegemon of the world. You've reaped the benefits of all that. I mean, slowly you come to terms. You know, when I go to the UK, I feel the same way. When I go to the UK, you're like, hey, these people just seem like they have nothing going on. And I don't mean like socially or something. There's like nothing going on. Like, no, the ambitions are very like, you know, tempered. Mm-hmm. The scope of like social mobility is very, very much like, you know, reduced. And people are just resigned to the fact that, hey, you know, let's just figure out, get your own real quick. Don't lose yours and just move on to the next day. Checklist that stuff and your life goes by and that's fine. As long as nothing bad happens,
just get all your stuff done. Make sure you get all your stuff done.
And you're going to see that here soon.
Do things.
Yeah, you're going to see that here. I mean... You're probably kind of already seeing it here. Just get yours somehow quickly. Just figure it out because, like, something dramatic might happen. The world might end tomorrow. COVID might happen. The
economy's only going to get worse.
Yeah. I mean, and even when that was true before, people could have said that in 04, 08, there's a crash. Like, you know, there's been issues. The slowest recovery in history of, like, recoveries. Like, there's a lot of issues that have happened, but this type of, like, you know, it's frenzied nihilism almost. Where people
frenzied nihilism. That's interesting. Yeah.
People are just like crazy. They don't know what to do. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know what to do. I'm so like, for all the bullshit we just talked for an hour and 16 minutes, we just went to I have no idea. My solution is to
there's
Oman.
No, like, yeah, but there's nothing. There's no like pull in all of this.
This is
right?
the Patrick Starr of solutions. Let's take all the people here who don't want to be a part of it and move to Oman.
Move them to Oman. All right.
But
brain drain to Oman.
Yeah, we'll title this. There's something about Oman.
Something about Oman. Yeah.
But I mean, I guess like, you know, I gotta figure out the situation with the visas and stuff.
Well, I think like, shit. What was I gonna say? I was gonna say something. Political nihilism. I don't know. Lost the train of thought.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're a nihilist, I empathize with you. I'm in the same boat, brother. It's very difficult not being completely dejected from what's happening. Simultaneously, get your head out your ass. life is good for you, and just enjoy that. While simultaneously giving back and keeping in mind the people who have not made it this far yet because of nothing to do with them. It's an accident of birth.
And for a lot of them, they don't have a voice. They're just asking you to amplify theirs.
Yeah. So unless you have a microphone, like, you know, unless you have a scheduled CNN interview or like, you know, MSNBC block, just shut up and stand on the corner of the street. Yeah, and if it requires some yelling, just do it.
And maybe if there's enough of you, they'll cover it on CNN.
Yeah, and if they don't, oh no, you lost another hour of whatever the hell you were doing.
You could have been playing Call of Duty.
Next time we talk, bro, we got to talk about we need to ban that bullshit here. We need to ban all this stuff, ban games, ban video games.
Look, man.
I love it too. I got the sniper contract game, bro. I'm gonna sign off with this. Everyone, yeah, Civ 6 is cool. This is a contract warrior game. That's cool too, bro. It lets you like see like the shot in like real time, like it's like going in and all. It's cool.
Oh, that's crazy.
But they need to ban this shit. There's no way this is for human. Like this is not like People are like, well, we used to play cops and robbers. Yeah, you asshole. That's not the same thing.
Yeah, this you don't. It's this is not, deranged. That's different. That's different.
And they sent these, when I bought this PlayStation, they sent these headphones right here. I just got this a month ago.
Yeah.
And apparently you put them on, now you're talking to everyone and they're yelling at you and you yell at them. Bro, no wonder this country is going to the shit. Like, I mean, come on. How is this healthy?
It's fun. I
got a bunch of broke guys yelling at each other and pretending they're like special ops.
Well, I mean, a protest won't work, so maybe if I just yell at people on Call of Duty, that'll do something.
Hey, at least now it's a
I'm doing something.
More people.
Yeah.
More people.
Too, yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah. So you think out of the box? That might impress some of the folk.
We don't have any kind of you know, centralized poll. There's no religion. There's no, you know, ideology. There's no, but hey, let's, you know, we're all gonna play some Call of Duty and you know.
Yeah. Well,
mission accomplished.
Whatever it takes to just distract from the fact that there's nothing positive going on. And that's the message that I think we can sign off on. I am gonna research before the next time we talk about how the hell we can get to Oman. I hope it's not an expensive affair. Or a long boat ride, because I'm not down for either of those things.
Man, that would be a really long boat ride.
I mean, I honestly don't even know how to start making a boat, so that's going to be a long, prolonged affair.
Well, you can become a capitalist and get a yacht, and just yacht your way over there.
Bro, if I had a yacht, why the hell would I leave America, true, of all things?
Yeah, true. Fair, fair.
The best place to live if you're rich.
Not Dubai? Or a place like that?
Can't smoke weed in Dubai.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're pretty strict on it. Oh, yeah. Singapore?
Nah. I need a decent amount of people I just, like, you know.
Hmm.
I don't know. Too far eastern, I guess.
Sure.
I need it on this side of the map and, like, this. No, I just need, like, in a specific place. Anywhere, like. Honestly. The world's big. There's probably about 10 cities that I would even consider.
What 10 cities?
London, Madrid, I mean, New York, DC, Seattle, SF, LA maybe, Chicago, Houston, Austin, Toronto. That would probably be the only ones in North America. Vancouver, maybe. Boston would be interesting. Other than that, man, I've heard Mexico City is interesting, honestly. I wouldn't mind trying that out. Germany, I've heard, has a lot of potential for has a lot of like hiring for American MBAs, American like managerial people and stuff like. So, I mean, that's I guess that's a decent option if you're trying to leave this country.
Yeah, but what direction is Germany going in?
Being cold.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. You might as well go to Alaska at that point.
Yeah, the options are unlimited, but I don't know. These all sound so dreary. That's why I just don't go anywhere.
Hey, well, the one thing about this that gives me hope is that people in Africa and Palestine and in all of these areas, they seem to have a lot of hope. You see, like, the coups and the movements, the popular movements that have happened in Africa, it's a lot of young people.
Yeah.
Who are behind that.
And if they're not giving up and
there's what they're doing,
no one else has the right to give up. And if you're like questioning other people's like whatever they're doing in their capacity is not good enough for you, show us what you can do. Right? Instead of asking other people to go do more, why don't you show us what could be done and maybe we'll follow you. Otherwise, shut up and get in line.
Yeah.
That's how the leadership structure works in any capacity, on a sports team, on anything. So, you know, I mean, if anything, if our South African listener takes anything away from this, get up off your ass, get out on the street, and start yelling.
Nah, he's probably with the shits.
Yeah.
He's. I'm sure he's about.
Well, we can see if you listen to this. So, yeah, big government. Well, hopefully we won't be talking next time next year. No, next time this Israel-Palestine thing happens.
Well, yeah. We'll see. This is has happened since the 70s. So.
Oh. 70, that's a long-ass time.
I mean, if you think about, like, how, like, peripheral countries are getting involved as well, right? Like, that, the 73 war.
Yeah. That is, honestly, like, the most, that's the biggest, like, I guess, threat to U.S. hegemony collectively the past year or so since the Ukraine, Russia, and now this, that you've seen, like, just a disregard for U.S. might by, like, you know, people who were subordinates.
Yeah.
Saw the all-out, like, you know, the support outright for Palestine in this affair
right now.
Ditching
the dollar. Yeah. I mean, not ditching, but as in, you know, trading in other currencies.
If any internationalist, anyone who is against the global hegemon, that should be a source of hope and inspire a fight. That whether you see it or not, it's the same thing. You don't see the curvature of the earth because you're too small. Whether you see it or not, imperial power across the world is. Well, it might sound a bit, you know, far fetched, but coming to a close. And, you know, maybe it will be in our lifetimes if you live to 100. Otherwise, you know, maybe not. But it's happening. It's happening within, you know, we're seeing it with, you know, in front of our eyes right now. And you can be a part of it in whatever capacity is possible for you. Or you can, you know, bullshit your way around it. You know, like, troll your way around it. And those efforts are going to be noted to whoever's keeping score. They're not going to talk about who won and lost, but they'll talk about how you played.
Yeah.
And I got that from Bill Simmons, like, old magazine.
Nice. Yeah. I was going to say that had a nice, like, you know, quote type of thing to
it. But, you know, like, it stands true. Like, it stands true in basketball and it stands true in this. Like, the way you play matters more than if you win or lose. So tomorrow, if, guess what, Israel kills everyone and everyone dies, whatever the hell happens, okay. But who was on what side will be what's, like, gonna differentiate.
There's
us.
A reckoning for that.
Yeah.
And we're all bound to face that reckoning. No trolling then.
I mean,
Judgment Day.
Woo. Yeah. I mean, also you wish, like, some of the trolling was at least funny. I've trolled a decent amount of people in my life, but if you're trolling from the outside, it makes sense. Trolling from the inside is just kind of weird.
Just need that dopamine hit, man. You want to get likes and replies and, ooh, what did he just say? Ooh, ha ha ha.
Yeah, again, very 90s behavior. Being edgy was intellectual. Being edgy is being out, like, you're being out there. Oh, I'm the out there. I think out of the box. Well, you know, sometimes you need a thing inside the box, man. Just, you know, like.
Well, what box are we talking about now, right? Out of their box, inside the box, or out of.
No, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these fools need to get in. I mean, some of these fools, you just want to put into a boxing ring, honestly. Forget
about that. Yeah. That's crazy.
Like, very annoyed, not to harp on it over, you know, overextend, like, how much we're harping on it, but
it's frustrating.
It's frustrating because you're educated, you live in the same community, you know people personally who are affected by this. You know people, your family members are probably affected by this. And guess what? Even if you don't, it shouldn't matter. Your lens on how you view the world should automatically inform you of what's right and wrong and what you should be able to do in your capacity. And I keep on mentioning in your capacity because
that's important. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like if you want to pretend everyone's going to become Che Guevara and, like, you know, like, I have an AK, I'm on the streets. Guess what, bro? That's just not realistic. I'm not saying, you know, that's not possible. Some
people
are made for it.
You can't bite off more than you can chew, though.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. If you want people to be like, hey, I'm too much of a wuss to pick up a gun and go fight for whatever I believe in.
No one's saying you have to do that.
Yeah, no one's saying you have to do that except for yourself, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Except
at that
for yourself.
Point. Yeah.
And that is just such an unfair expectation of people who are, like, just trying to figure out a way to make a difference. I'm not saying it's, like, it's not. It is probably a little bit self satisfaction.
Yeah.
Probably mostly. And what's wrong with that? Like, I just don't understand. Like, you know, collectively us feeling good about. Hey, we believe we are in the right and we are together. you would do that at a baseball game, like, hey, we all like the Astros guys. Let's all, like, you know, get drunk and, like, burn this car because our team won the bullshit championship, yeah. World Series bullshit. This is like, this country loves bullshit so much. This is a Super Bowl champion. Let's burn some crap. Like, you're okay with standing in the corner of the street for a bullshit parade for, like, some, like, rigged, like, team, like, the trash can, like, Houston Astros. But
trash, wait, what?
They were banging on trash, supposedly. I don't follow baseball, but they were banging on trash cans when their batter would go on to the
hit. Oh, to like distract him, mess up his like.
No, to like signal to him what pitch was coming.
Oh.
Very advanced, I guess. I mean, okay. They always steal like signs and stuff in baseball, but like not to that extent. And then they got penalized, but they had already won the World Series.
Well, these things are there, you know, these hype, this culture around these things is created. To keep people engrossed in, you know, these niche things so that they don't think about, you know, what's going on. Entertainment.
Yeah, it's a distraction. Gladiator sports, and I mean, the biggest...
Trying to work people's algorithm to...
To ban that stuff. Ban COD, or video games in general, because their microtransactions are annoying. I miss when you could just play a video game without being on the internet, but damn, whatever.
Man. Yeah.
Like,
that's true.
Also ban professional sports, bro, because when this whole BLM thing was happening, whatever was going on, and basketball was coming to a strike, bro, like, you guys could have just came to a strike, because it was just, you're just throwing a ball in a hoop. It's not that serious. But... It became like, hey, Obama's calling Giannis or LeBron or something. And he's like, hey, guys, you got to play. Please, you got to make a difference by playing. Bro, it's straight up gladiator sports. They're distracting you from the fact that some dude, like, there's, like, people out on the streets literally right now in your
Malcolm
own cities.
Malcolm X had words on that. Malcolm X had words on that.
Yeah, I mean... So much of this, like, stuff that, you know, Malcolm said just plays out in front of you. I mean, in liberal, like, politic, it's just so blatantly, like... It's not blatant because they don't realize it, but it's like, anyone from the outside is like, hey, I'm not able to communicate with you. Like, me and you, actually, I talked to someone recently. We have a friend who, you know, is deep down the Biden rabbit hole, and it's like... They can't move past the shock and chagrin. Like, oh, my, clutching my pearls. How could you say that? Why'd you do this? What's wrong with you? Bro, what is the issue? Talk to me. So, I mean, we were sitting in a public setting, and one of our friends, who's also, you know, Pakistani, he's Muslim, and he voted for Trump in the last election. And this guy lost it on him.
Mm.
And I'm not a Trump voter. I've never voted Republican in my life. And I probably won't, but I don't care. Like, you were Republican.
You live in Texas, man. Yeah. Bruh.
The guy went completely crazy. Like, how could you do this? How could you live with yourself?
It's a liberal outrage culture.
And it's like, dude, you are more cringy than he is.
I mean, by living in this country and paying taxes, you're doing more material damage than by voting for Trump in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, also, like, you getting on a high horse, like, you voted for Biden, bro. Again, like, I am hoping in 10 years we can have a realistic conversation in rational circles. I'm not a Trump supporter or a Biden supporter. Trump is objectively a better president than Biden as far as, like, the results. Because if you're inept at your job, at least you can't fuck up that much because you don't know how to do it. This thing the past 3 years with Ukraine, Russia, this Israel-Palestine, and, like, here just, like, the bombardment of pro-Israeli, like, the flags at half-mast, emails from corporate, yeah. Like, you know.
We're not going to hire people who, you know, support this cause.
Yeah, it's just, like, so, yeah, he's senile, but there's still structure in the machine when he's involved.
Yeah.
And when Trump was here, yeah, it sucked. You know what? You said, you know, $1,000 a month sounds good. He gave me $1,000. I liked it. It was nice. Or $2,000, right?
Yeah. I never got my $2,000.
Was it $2,000?
I never got my whatever it was. No, it was $1,400.
You know, now I think about it, man. It's just so sad. You would have to... people like, literally, like, voting over crumbs, like, $1,200, $1,800. Was it $2,000? It was 3 years ago.
Crazy.
3 years have gone by. People still like, oh, was it 1,200? Two grand? Bro, that was it. Oh, my God. Like, just imagine $1,200. Yeah. That's not even going to, like, that's not, like, most people, that's not going to cover your rent in this city.
Nah. Nah. And this city's relatively affordable.
Yeah. Yeah. $1,200. You gave that to some guy in New York. I wonder what they did with that, but.
Ate lunch.
Yeah.
Anyway, shut up and get in line.
Yeah, man. You're not a deep thinker. There's nothing edgy about your troll jokes. Just like. Just nothing is extraordinary about you.
Get off your phone. Get off social media. Get off. Get out of these group chats, man.
Stop hanging out with people who agree with you. Stop.
Yeah, hang out with people who disagree with you. Talk to them. Yeah. And you know, consider the fact that, you know, maybe there's stuff out there for you to learn.
Yeah. If you're not learning from the groups around you, that means, well, I guess then you're in a teaching position, but judging by this...
I mean...
Yeah, I mean, where the shoe fits, but teaching kids bullshit is not good. Yes, so, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice, man. It was nice chatting. It's been a minute.
Nice talking to you, sir.
Yes, we'll do it again soon next time there's some bullshit to be handled.
Yeah.